So this is our second week talking about Elijah. If you missed the first week, then it's online. You can click on that while you're making your pot of soup or something, and you can listen to the first part of the story. I'll do a quick recap. Last week, we talked about the fact that God is our provider and we do not need to beg. We're children of the King. You know, if God, we also said if God takes us into a new situation and we're afraid, then just do it afraid because God will be with us. God moved Elijah in that story last week, not because he wanted to do something in Elijah's life, but because he needed to do something in the widow's life that he sent Elijah to. We didn't look too much at the story of the widow, but we're going to look at that this week. That's what we're going to look at, the widow at Zarephath that God sent to meet the needs of Elijah. So at this point in the story, there had been no rain for over 3 years. And of course, no rain meant no food. There was a massive famine in the entire land. And God says to Elijah, I want you to go to this town called Zarephath, and I've prepared a widow there to meet your needs. We're going to pick the story up in 1 Kings 17 and verse 10, where it says this. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And she was going to get it, and he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterwards make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord. Great wee story there, just in 6 verses. So God provided a widow to meet Elijah's needs. And I want us to note that it was a widow, a single mum with no money and no food either. It was not someone rich or important or famous or a local politician or anyone like that, but an ordinary person. God chooses ordinary people like you and me to do his work all the time. All the time. This widow did not know when she got up that morning that her needs were going to be met and she was going to meet a man of God. She just thought, we're just going to have a little bit of bread in here and then we're going to die. Things were not great. He uses us whenever he wants to and whenever we're available. He uses us to reach our family, our friends, our colleagues at work, and our neighbours. I can't reach your neighbours and you can't reach mine. He uses us for the people that are in our area of life. And we must believe that God can use us. He used the donkey. I qualify. I'm looking at the front row here, you know. I qualify, so you need to ask yourself, do you qualify? If God can use a donkey, then he can use us, ordinary people, to do what he wants to do. I remember years ago, an old lady in our church in Edinburgh gave me a set of cassette tapes. That's how long ago it was. And it was a preacher called Andrew Womack. I'd never heard of him. I'd never heard of his teaching. And she just said, Sandra, you might like these. So I went away and I listened to them. And I thought, you know, you get over the different accent and you're listening to what he's got to say. And I thought, this guy's either off the wall or this is the best teaching I've ever heard. And it turned out to be the best teaching I'd ever heard. And it changed my life. It changed my life to start to get a revelation from the Word of God about the fact that God wants to heal us. And all this old lady did was pass me a set of ancient cassette tapes. You know, I know people have passed me books that have changed my life. I've given out books that have maybe changed someone else's life. So although we think we're not doing much, it's all the small things that add up, and God can use every single one of them. So this widow is a poor single mum, And she's seen it as having nothing. Our neighbours would say, well, she's got nothing, don't go to her. But it doesn't matter how others see us. It only matters how God sees us. You know, when King David's dad, when his father looked at his family, he went, well, choose the oldest. He's the tallest. He's the most good-looking one. He's the strongest in battle. Don't choose David. He's the youngest. He's out doing the sheep. But God chose David. He chose the youngest one. And people in the world look and they make judgments and they make decisions, but God knows what he's chosen us for. And every single person in this room is chosen. And I've got a prophetic word for someone here today, and it's this: forget their opinion. Only God's opinion counts. Only God's opinion. And I want to pray right now against negative opinions. Father, we just come in Jesus' name, and if any one of us can think of someone else's negative opinion that they've landed on us, I come against that negative opinion, Lord, of another human being, and I bind it and I just break its power off our lives right now in Jesus' name, because that opinion does not count. Amen. That opinion doesn't count. Only God's opinion counts. Now, God knew all about this widow's situation, and that's why he sent Elijah to save her. She thought she was saving Elijah, but Elijah had come to save her. Elijah asks her for bread and water to meet his needs, and she replies, as the Lord your God lives. So she recognized that Elijah believed in God, but it wasn't her God. She said, it's your God. She didn't know God for herself yet. She was on a bit of a journey. But God was working in her life. Folks, he works in people's lives all the time before they even know about God. We could go around the room and say, you know, was there a time in your life where you did not know God? And we could probably all say, yes, there was. But that did not mean God wasn't drawing us and God wasn't loving us and Jesus hadn't died for us. And God's working all the time. So I feel I've got a word of knowledge for someone here today, and it's this. You have been praying for someone, maybe for a long time, and you're not sure if these prayers are working. And God wants to say this to you today. I am working in their life. So whatever it is you're praying for, God's working in their life. They've got to respond, but it doesn't mean that God's not working, so don't give up. And the widow said to Elijah, listen, I've only got a little flour, and I've got just a little bit of oil. Times are hard. Have you not heard? There's a famine in the land. I've really not got much. And I'm about to make our last meal for my son and I, and then we're going to die. It's fairly severe. So how's your situation? How's your week been? Is it fairly severe? Do we need a miracle too, just like this woman did? But Elijah says to her, do not fear. Verse 13, do not fear. Last week we said, do not afraid. I'd like to say to us today, do not fear. Whatever the situation is we're facing, don't be afraid. Just keep trusting God and do it afraid. Sometimes we've got to face a person and we've got to do it afraid. Sometimes it might be a hospital appointment and we've just got to do it afraid. But know that God is with you. Know he's got that rope tied around your middle like the mountain climber that I talked about earlier, and he is not going to let you go. He's on the other end of the rope, holding you safe and secure. And then Elijah asks her to feed him first, to meet his needs before her own. Now, being honest, I don't know if I would have done that day. There's me and my child, and we're going to have one last wee flat piece of bread between us, and a complete stranger asks me to feed him first. I think I'd be saying, get in line, you know, get in line. I don't know that I could have done what this woman did. What she did was amazing. You know, she must have seen something in Elijah. She knew he was a man of God because she said, your God, the God that you believe in. You know, so she must have seen something and she obeyed. So the amazing thing is that she did as Elijah asked. You know, sometimes we need to take our eyes off ourselves and help someone else. She took her eyes off herself. She was going to die. She didn't just have a sore big toe. She was going to die if she didn't eat that at some point. But she took her eyes off ourselves. You know, I want to encourage us to stop looking at how bad we've got it and try to help someone else, because there's always someone who's worse off than us. And then we might see a miracle just like this widow did. You know, verse 14, it said, the flour won't be used up nor the jar of oil run dry. So God was saying he'd provide. He would meet all her needs. All she needed to do was believe it. And God will meet all our needs too. And all we have to do is believe it. So this widow woman, she made a decision to trust. And she gave what she had to God. The woman offered everything that she had, this last bit of flour and oil, and she gave it to this man of God that she really didn't know. And what she did not only saved Elijah's life, but the scripture tells me it saved her whole household. It doesn't just say her and her son, it says the whole household. So I don't know if there's her and her son, maybe another family living with them, maybe a servant that was starving as well, but it saved her whole household. So I want us to note this. God will not ask us to give us anything we don't have. He will only ever ask us to give what we do have. And if he's asking us to do something, you think, that's a little bit hard, God. Now just put it this way. We're still able to do it because he's not going to ask you to do something you cannot do. Even if we're afraid to do it, we still can do it. He's only going to ask us to do something we're capable of doing. Years ago now, how many years ago for healing the whole person? 13 years ago. So 13 years ago, we started healing the whole person, healing ministry in Edinburgh. And we still have healing the whole person. It's on the back burner at the moment because we're running the church and we still desperately believe for healing. But we took a step of faith because we felt God was saying, just go, book a hotel room, have a meeting and pray for people to be healed. And that's what we did. And the rent for that one room for, say, 3 hours on a Saturday night was £200. So we didn't have the £200. Well, the ministry didn't have it. We could have paid it ourselves. But we just put the feelers out there and said, well, Lord, we're just going to rent this room. We're going to do this. Someone came forward and said, there's £200 to pay the rent. And then we said to someone, we're going to have this meeting and we don't know what we're going to do next. And someone else came forward and said, there's £200. Have a second meeting. And then a businessman came up to us and said, you're going to need sound equipment. £1,000. He gave us a check for £1,000 to buy sound equipment, which we're still using today. So he gave us that check. And then a single mum came up and she gave us £50. And a pensioner came up and she gave us £10. And the whole point was, it wasn't the £1,000, it wasn't the £200, it was all of it. It was the £10 and the £5 and whatever anyone could put in the offering. Every gift was needed by us and was a blessing from God. And every gift was God prompting someone to obey that little nudge to support this ministry. And we were never in debt. We're still not in debt for the 13 years that we've run that ministry. The money has always come in to pay any bill that was there. So I just want to encourage you, don't ever feel that you're not worth as much as someone else because you've not got as much or you can't give as much. You know, even if we feel our gift is small, God can still use it. Because to believe that we're not worth as much as someone else because they might have a bigger house or more money is believing a lie. Every single person on the planet is worth the same amount. And you know what that amount is? Do you know what the price tag is on your life? It is the blood of Jesus. Every single one of us is worth the blood of Jesus. So you turn to someone today and you say, I am worth the blood of Jesus. You're worth the blood of Jesus. Every single person in this room is as important as a queen to the king. We are important to God and we have the same worth and value. God moved Elijah countries just to meet this woman's needs. And he's moved heaven and earth already to meet our needs. And all we need to do is trust him. This, we'll go back to 1 Kings 17 and it says this, looking at verse 15 and 16. She and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord. It was a miracle of provision. So how did she receive this provision? Hey, well, I need a miracle of provision, Sandra. Well, I've got the answer. It'll cost you a fiver. You know? Do you want the answer? She had this amazing, amazing story, this amazing miracle of provision. How did she receive it? It's there in black and white in verse 16, according to the word of the Lord. She stood on what God had said. She stood on the word of the Lord, and we can do the same, whether it's finances, whether it's healing, no matter what it is, it's according to the word of the Lord. In a severe drought, in a severe situation, stand on the word of the Lord and claim it for your life. We've got a woman in the back row with multiple fractures in her right arm who's getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning to cook for us all, because she's believing for the word, on the word of the Lord for healing, and she is being healed. The doctor said she wouldn't be able to move it for a year, and she's there putting on her mascara. These things are important. Now it's running down her face, so we'll just skip that one. We stand on the word of the Lord, speak it out our mouth, repeat it until we see the provision. And remember, don't beg. Don't beg God. Don't beg him for healing. Don't beg him to do these things. Just say, Father God, I give you this need in Jesus' name. Thank you that you've heard me. I praise you for the answer as I wait to see it. Just think of every prayer request as being Christmas. You know, when we were kids, did we doubt that we'd get that bike or that doll or that watch or camera or whatever it was? Now you just give them a phone that lasts them. It's every Christmas present for 10 years. It's all on the phone, you know. They take it to bed with them and everything. Everything's on the phone. But we didn't doubt that there'd be something there on Christmas morning. You know, there'd be something under that tree. And so when we give our prayer request to our Daddy in heaven, it's like Christmas. He wants to give us it, but we need to do it according to the word of the Lord. That's how she saw this miracle. And if we're ever tempted to think it will never happen, because that's a temptation once we've prayed it, and the little thought in your head goes, well, we'll see if that happens. Well, you're only human, so I'll let you off with that. Just don't say it. Just don't speak it out your mouth. Stand on the word of the Lord. Now, there's a second part to this widow's story, okay? That was the first part, and we've got a second part. And the second part is that tragedy strikes again, and this time her son does die. But God's already provided for her needs because Elijah's in the house. God's already sent him. God already knew this would happen. The widow's thinking, things can't get worse. I've got nothing to eat. God's going, wait for next week. You know, things are going to get worse. But he'd already prepared. He'd already gone ahead of her and opened the door and sent Elijah. You know, I just want you to get this. I'm going to bring a revelation, and I want, if you don't go home with anything else, this is the one to go home with, folks. This is the one that will change our lives, and it's this. Whatever the problem is, God's already there. He's already provided. God is in your house. You don't need Elijah. You've got God. God's in this house. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. God is in the house. We used to sing a song, God is in the house, let's scream and shout. You know, we need to be jumping up and down, waving our undergarments in the air, because God is in the house, and he's going to provide the miracle. He's going to give us everything that we need. So let's read the second part of the story, and it's 1 Kings 17, verse 17. Now, it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick, and his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to kill my son? And he said to her, give me your son. So he took him out of her arms, and he carried him to the upper room where he was staying, and he laid him on his own bed. And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him. Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and gave him to his mother. Elijah said, see, your son lives. Then the woman said, by this I know that you are a man of God, and the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth. How amazing, how amazing. It says that the son had no breath in him. So what was the widow's reaction to this absolute tragedy in her life? Well, it's in verse 18. Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance? In other words, she's saying, is it my sin that's caused this? Have I done something wrong to cause this tragedy? Am I the one that's to blame? You know, sometimes the enemy will come and he'll say that something that's happened in our lives is our fault because of our sin. I mean, there are consequences to sin. We do have to ask God to break it off our lives. But sometimes the enemy's got us under his thumb because they think, all this is my fault, and when we're actually believing a lie from the enemy. You know, there's sickness in the world. We're living in a dying world. We're not living in the perfection that God originally created. We didn't cause the sickness. God didn't send it. It goes way back to the Garden of Eden. It's Adam and Eve that opened the door. They sinned, and on the back of sin came sickness and death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. That's what the Bible says. So death entered, and death entered and brought the sickness that kills people. You know, when bad things happen, it's not necessarily anyone's fault. It could be an accident. It could be a genetic condition. So I've got a prophetic word for someone, and it's this. It's not your fault. You didn't cause it, and you didn't deserve it. You need to set yourself free. So the widow goes on after that, and she says, have you come to kill my son? So now after saying, is it my sin that's caused this? Now she blames Elijah. Is it my sin? Or have you come? Have you come to kill my son? So now she blames Elijah. Do you know what, folks? We're always looking for someone to blame. We're always looking for someone or something. Even in the Garden of Eden, when Eve sinned, and then she told Adam, and Adam sinned. Adam says to God, see this woman that you gave me, she made me do it. So it's not my fault, it's her fault, you know. So we're always looking to pass the blame because that might make us feel better. We're pointing the finger at someone else. The word of the Lord for us today is this. Stop looking to place the blame. We may never have all the answers, and at some point, we must stop asking the questions. Who's to blame? Who started it? Whose fault was it? Sometimes we'll never get the answers to those questions for whatever the situation is. So Elijah then stretched out on the child three times, and he cried out to the Lord. So I want you to picture this amazing man of God, okay, prophet of God. He's just said, it's not going to rain. That's all he did. Excuse me, King Ahab, it's not going to rain. Put your umbrella away for 3 years. It's not going to rain. And guess what? It didn't rain. There was no big drama. There's no big hassle. Elijah, now that we're told anyway, didn't have to fast for 3 months or something to get this to happen. He just spoke the word of God, and it just happened like that. And now he's just fed a widow and her son and their whole household, and the supply didn't run dry until the famine stopped. So this is an amazing man of God. His prayers work. He's tuned in. He's on the white, red-hot telephone straight to God. He's got a direct line, you know. So things are really good for him. So in his prayer for this little boy, is it answered immediately? No. Is God deaf? No. So why is there a delay? Even for Elijah. Three times he had to pray. Even for Elijah, this man of God, there's a delay. Why is that? Because the answer's there, but it exists in the spirit realm before we see it in our physical bodies or our physical situation. And we have to keep pressing in until the answer gets through. I think if it had taken 30 times, Elijah would have kept going. I think it just would have kept going and going. He would have kept going until he saw the answer. He prayed three times. We need to persevere. We don't need to beg. Elijah didn't once say, I beg you, God. He just persevered in a positive prayer. It's okay to remind God of the details. Say, well, God, it's been a week now, or a month, or it's been a year. You know, it's been a long time, God. I'm just reminding you of the details here, but I'm not begging you because I know you're on it. I know you're moving on my behalf. And say, thank you, Father, that you've heard. I know you're answering, and I'm trusting you. So Elijah didn't give up. He saw a miracle, and the boy came back to life. I want to remind you of the vision that I shared last week when I was talking. I saw a person fully clothed. We'll go with fully clothed. That's always easier to imagine, you know. Covered in mud. Totally covered in mud. Don't know what they'd been doing. And they went and stood under the shower. And the shower just began to wash the mud off all their clothes, their hair and everything. And it began to just drain all the way down. And all around their feet was a massive puddle of mud. But if they'd just gone in the shower for 2 seconds and out again, they would have still been covered in mud. But they stayed in the shower. They just stood there under the power of the shower. And the longer they stood there, the greater the effect of the shower. They just got cleaner and cleaner, and the mud got washed away. And I brought this revelation. The longer we stand under God's power, the greater the effect. We just need to stay there sometimes, in his presence, declaring who he is, declaring his word over our situation, standing on the word of God. Let it be according to your word. That's what Mary said when they said, you're a virgin and you're going to become pregnant and you're going to give birth to the Son of God. You know, she could have just thought, I need to go off that grape juice. It's just too strong, you know. She could have thought anything like that. Let it be to me according to your word. Let it be. So persevere. Stay in prayer. Stay in the word. Stay in God's power until you see it. Until you see it, because it's on its way. Just don't give up. So I want to close with this. Finally, the widow says this to Elijah, verse 24. Now I know. Before I didn't, I wasn't sure, but now I know. You're a man of God, and the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth. So the widow knew the word of God was true, and she said, now I know. Before Elijah knew, but now it was her experience, and she knew. So do we know? Do we know? Can I encourage you to say, I know. I know God's word is the truth. I've not been believing it this week, but I'm going to get back on the ball, Sandra. Monday morning, I'm confessing those scriptures because I know the word of the Lord is the truth. If we want to see answers to prayer, we need to know that God's word is true. We need to speak the answer instead of repeating the problem. We need to stand on the truth until we see it come to pass in our lives. Then when we know it and we're speaking it, we'll see our miracle too. I'm just going to ask the worship team to come up and join me.